The following commentary is for educational purposes only. Always consult the appropriate tax, legal, or financial professionals before acting on any information heard in this program.
Welcome to the IRA Brothers Podcast. I'm Nick Edwards.
And I'm Nathan Edwards.
And this is episode number one. And we are going to start things off with the basics, and I would say maybe even the most basic when it comes to retirement investment accounts, and that is the traditional IRA. Most people that we run into, most of the general public, most of our clients have a traditional IRA. So, Nate, if someone came to you, they didn't have any types of investments, but they'd heard of this thing, and they said, what is a traditional IRA? Your response is...
IRAs or traditional IRAs are not an interest-bearing type of account. It is not like going to a CD and you get an IRA. Even though a lot of banks or other institutions pose it that way, they'll say our IRAs are paying X, Y, and Z amount. The traditional IRA can actually be thought of as a wrapper that is placed around a type of asset.
Mm-hmm.
So that wrapper may be placed around CDs, or it could be placed around equities or debt, you know, bonds, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Almost anything that is not very difficult to value can be placed inside of an IRA. Now, don't go out and try to put anything inside of your IRA. Definitely check before you're putting an IRA.
So your baseball card collection probably wouldn't qualify.
That's right. Yeah. Collectibles are one of the big no-nos.
Uh-huh.
They're very difficult to value. And the question is, why would we put dollars into a traditional IRA? What is the benefit of putting dollars into a traditional IRA?
I'm guessing there's some sort of tax benefit?
Yeah, that's correct. So inside of a traditional IRA, generally, the easiest way to think about it is that when I earn money, let's say that I've earned $10,000 in a year, and let's say that I'm under the age of 50.
Yeah.
As of 2017, I can place $5,500 into my traditional IRA in any given year.
Now, when you say you've earned some money, does that mean if you earned it from Social Security?
No.
Let's say you were disabled and you were getting it under age 50.
That's right. No, these have to be earned dollars. So this is earned income. And,
okay.
And only certain types of income or active income is what it's referred to fall under that classification. And for the sake of argument, let's just call that employment income.
Okay.
There are a lot of different caveats, but to keep it simple, let's call that employment income. So if I've earned those dollars, I can place my $5,500 into my traditional IRA, and those dollars, for all intents and purposes, are erased from my income for that year. So I will not have to pay taxes on the dollars that I place into my traditional IRA.
Now, what about the growth of the assets inside the account every year? Are you taxed on that?
No, I'm not. And that's the secondary benefit. So unlike a cash account where I would have to pay taxes on the interest earned every year, inside of a traditional IRA, these assets grow what's called tax deferred.
Mm-hmm.
So the deferred part of that is that I do not have to pay taxes on the interest earned every single year. But when I take those dollars out, I have to pay taxes on 100% of my distributions. Why is that?
Well, the IRS doesn't like you to not ever pay taxes on money.
Yeah,
that
that's right.
Have.
Yeah, yeah. So not only did I not pay income tax on the dollars going into the account, but I also have never paid tax on the interest of the account.
So when does the taxation portion happen?
It happens when I take a distribution. Now, technically, we shouldn't be taking distributions from our traditional IRAs until we've achieved age 59 and a half, because if we do prior to that, the government imposes a 10% penalty tax on top of it. So not only am I having to pay my income tax, but I also have to pay a 10% penalty. And that penalty is imposed to encourage people not to withdraw assets from their accounts until they're approximately the age of retirement. So these have been established for retirement purposes. Now, there is one big caveat to how much can be deducted from your income in a given year. So yes,
if I could pause for a moment, it's important that you said deducted, because anyone can always open a traditional IRA account. The question is whether or not you can deduct from that current year's income the amount that you put into it.
That's right.
And the caveat is?
The caveat is either do you have a retirement plan at work? If the answer is yes, then how much you can deduct from your IRA in a given year is based on how much income you earn. Now, for a single individual, that number in 2017 is?
Drum roll. If you have a retirement plan at work and you want to try to deduct the amount that you're putting into your traditional IRA for the year, the phase out, which means a portion of it may be non-deductible, starts at $62,000 per year.
So if you earn less than a modified adjusted gross income of $62,000 per year, you can deduct 100% of your traditional IRA contribution.
That's correct. And if you have no plan at work and you're single, you can put as much as you want up to the limit inside of the IRA and deduct the full amount.
That's right. So let's go back to that limit portion. So we said under age 50, we can put $5,500 as of 2017.
Yes.
What is over the limit? Is there something other than the limit?
Well, the generous IRS said, hey, once you're over age 50, there is still reason to celebrate. You can put another $1,000, bringing you all the way up to $6,500 per year into your traditional IRA. And if you're underneath the phase-out limits, you can deduct all of it.
That's right. Yeah, 100%. And we call that a catch-up provision. So if you haven't been saving for retirement all the way until you're 50 years of age.
And that's catch-up, not catch-up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. You can then begin to contribute that extra $1,000 per year. Now, one of the things that we should cover is that that is for a single individual.
Mm-hmm.
The water gets muddied a little bit if you are married filing jointly. It is dependent on household income, and it is also dependent on whether or not you and or your spouse are covered by a retirement plan at work. It's essentially the same practice, but it's got one more component. That can be parsed out very easily by checking out.
Well, let me give you another scenario. Let's say I'm married to a sugar mama, and I don't have a job. I'm taking care of the kids at home, but she has a job. Can I still fund and deduct money that I'm putting into a traditional IRA if I'm not working and I don't have earned income, but I am married to a spouse who does?
So you yourself can't contribute to it, but your spouse can contribute to what is known as a spousal IRA. There's no form that says spousal IRA on it, but it is known that if you are married filing jointly, your spouse can contribute for both themselves and you, even if you are unemployed, up to the limit of the income earned of the household.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good benefit. Are there any drawbacks to funding a traditional IRA versus, say, a Roth IRA, which we'll talk about in another episode?
So a traditional IRA, and we see this quite often, people will contribute to traditional IRAs for their entire life. And then they begin to take distributions for retirement, and they have to pay taxes on 100% of those dollars. So once upon a time, the idea was that, or the assumption was that, when I retire, my tax rate will be lower than it is today. So I will contribute to my traditional IRA at a higher tax rate, and I will take distributions at a lower tax rate. For some people, that holds true.
Mm-hmm.
But for many people, I wouldn't say many, for some people, that doesn't hold true, and it can pose some serious issues. So if all of your retirement savings are in these accounts that are 100% taxable, it creates some distribution tax headaches down the line. A secondary issue that we run into is something called a required minimum distribution. Now, we'll dig into this again at a later episode, but essentially it means that from a traditional IRA anyway and several different types of accounts, the government makes you start taking distributions from your account at age 70 or in the year in which you turn age 70 and a half at a rate that is based on your life expectancy. I call it your government-appointed life expectancy. And that rate, because your life expectancy decreases every year, goes up every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you don't need to utilize those dollars, the government will make you start taking distributions from that account, which can greatly increase or impact your tax situation.
If I could just real quick get back to one of the potential pitfalls of funding a traditional IRA versus other types of retirement accounts. Here's a scenario we run into often. You know, our job is to try to help people get to the point where they have a very comfortable retirement. And if they do a really good job and we do a really good job, hopefully they could even get to retirement and make more money in retirement than they were making while they were working. That can create two different problems when you go to the distribution phase of the traditional IRAs. Because as Nathan mentioned earlier, you will be taxed at whatever your income tax rate is in the future. That may be 10, 15, 20, 30, maybe even 50 years into the future. So if you've done a really good job of saving and you have a huge nest egg and somehow you're taking out even more money in retirement than you were making while you were working, you could find yourself into a higher tax bracket. Or scenario two, which we have no control over and really can't predict, is what will income tax rates actually look
right.
like in the future? A lot of people don't realize, even though we're griping and complaining about how high the taxes are now, we're coming off of a historical low
That's
in
right.
income tax rates. So there's a very good chance that even if you're making the same amount of money in retirement as you were before you retired, the tax rates could be higher. So that is the risk that people kind of have to consider is it possible that I could actually pay more money in taxes than I'm deducting by funding this traditional IRA account? Not that it should discourage you from doing it, because tax-deferred growth is a great thing, but it's something important to consider.
Right.
And Nate, if I'm not mistaken, I think that just about wraps up our description of a traditional IRA. Now I'll ask you for the executive summary.
So to summarize, a traditional IRA is an account into which, on an annual basis, we can make tax-deferred contributions up to an amount based on, one, our age, and two, our level of income. So for a single individual under the age of 50, we can contribute up to $5,500 annually. Now, the deductibility of that amount is based on whether or not we have a plan at work. If we have a plan at work, the income threshold for phasing out the deductibility is $62,000 a year as of 2017. If we don't have a plan at work, 100% of our $5,500 that we contribute every year is deductible. Now, if we're over age 50, we can begin to contribute $6,500 annually. Now, the income thresholds don't change. It is just the age and the extra income provision that changes. Now, on the back end, when we take distributions from a traditional IRA, 100% of those distributions will be taxed at your ordinary income rate.
And if I run into some sort of financial crisis, which happens occasionally, and I'm under age 59 and a half, what should I be aware of?
Unfortunately, you will receive a 10% penalty on any distribution. So not only will you have to pay taxes on 100% of the distribution, but you'll also have to pay a 10% penalty.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the traditional IRA.